Arkansas Department of Transportation and our carriers from AT&T to Verizon Wireless to T-Mobile that are all here supporting this announcement. And then we will go into our COVID report and make a few other comments along the way. I'm pleased to be joined this morning by Colonel Bill Bryant of the Arkansas State Police, who will have comments. We have Lori Tudor, Director of the Arkansas Department of Transportation, and we have Representative Stephen Meeks, who sponsored the legislation that led to the creation of this partnership and the announcement that we will have today. And one of the things that's clear, if you pay attention to the news and pay attention to statistics and what's happening in our community, is that we have a problem nationwide with the challenge of crime. And one of the ways that we address that is through citizens' activity and alerting law enforcement whenever they see a problem or something that should be reported, and citizens taking steps to report that information. And today's announcement will go some distance to help the citizens have the tools that they need to report suspicious activity or other things that happen on the highway that law enforcement should be alerted to. And this allows for easy contact with the Arkansas State Police. And so, Colonel, if you could, and Lori, if you could come over and show the sign, I think that'd be a good start right here. You'll do the unveiling. And so what we have here is star 277. It is a non-emergency contact number across the state for people to call to reach to the Arkansas State Police Highway Patrol Division. It'll go to their troop headquarters. It'll be alerted to the appropriate trooper that's on the road. Calls to this number could be from stranded or lost drivers, suspicious activity, or safety concerns related to dangerous drivers. This is important to note, is not a substitute for calling 911. That is still the emergency number that is called, but this is an additional number for non-emergency calls to help the state police in getting the work done. And this could not have happened without the investment of RDOT that has put up these signs. I believe it's 200 signs across the state that will market and show the public about Star 277. But it also could not have happened without the state police, Representative Stephen Meeks, of course, in the legislation, but also the three carriers that gave of themselves to help this effort be accomplished, and that is AT&T, and we're represented today by Ronnie Dedman, president of AT&T Arkansas, and Kelly Gottsponer, FirstNet Public Safety Solutions of AT&T. They're over to my left. We also have Patrick Lee, associate director of Verizon Wireless. Thank you very much, as well as Donald Cotello, senior manager, state government for T-Mobile, is here, as well as James Alley, account executive with T-Mobile as well. And so thank each of you for the work that you've done to make this possible today. And so with that announcement, let's turn this over to Colonel Bryan for your comments, followed by Director Tudor, and then I'll ask Stephen Meeks, Representative Stephen Meeks, to conclude on this topic.
Thank you, Governor. It's an honor to be here today. And just this is a great example of teamwork in state government and private industry. And during the 2021 regular session, I was approached by Representative Stephen Meeks, and he told me that he was in another state and saw they had signs on the side of the interstate that people knew how to contact the state police. He asked me to look into that, and believe it or not, in 2011, the state of Arkansas had a system that was called Star 55, and that would contact you to the nearest state police headquarters. Unfortunately, back then, it wasn't very well marketed. So once I met with Representative Meeks, I got with one of my state partners there, Lori Tudor, and we talked about it, and we came up and we researched the issue and decided to work together on this, along with our major cellular companies, and thank you so much for doing that. The government call it star 277. If it's easier for the general public, star ASP for Arkansas State Police. That's how the signs are. It says, you know, dial star ASP for, you know, some people don't have the alphabet on their phone. That's why we put the 277 on there. But it'll allow, 277 will allow cell phone user carriers to contact the nearest Arkansas State Police headquarters. We have 12 headquarters around the state, and working with our cellular carriers, it will automatically put you to the nearest troop headquarters around our state. And as the governor mentioned, just, you know, this is not a substitute for 911. If you see a real emergency, you dial 911. But it'll allow you to reach state police if you need this, for stranded motorists, suspicious activities, you know, other concerns related to dangerous drivings of others. And this will also benefit not every Arkansan, but every tourist we have come to our state. I believe we had some statistics from our tourist bureau. In 2019, we had over 36 million people, tourists or business travelers in our state. So people who come to visit our state, we want to be a friendly state and give them a way to contact law enforcement if we need it. And that will do it, because we'll put 200 of these signs all over the state, and I'll let Director Tudor to kind of tell you about that program. But we're very excited about this. It's a joint project and will help every Arkansan and help visitors to our state. We'll keep the old Star 55 up for a little bit to make sure, because we will have some technical glitches, I'm sure. But we're very excited about this program. And again, it's just great teamwork in state government. With that, I'll turn it over to you, Lori.
Good afternoon. It's so great to be here today. You know, recently I was driving down I-40, and it was early one Saturday morning, and I noticed a grass fire adjacent to the shoulder of the road. And I thought, who should I call? I should report this. And as director of RDOT, I didn't know who to call. I finally made the call to someone, but what I was thinking was, Colonel Bryant came to me and proposed this idea. I thought, that is a great idea. I can see that being a great service to the driving public. And it's also a great opportunity, and I really appreciate to be able to partner with another state agency. This week, RDOT Sign Shop is producing those 200 signs, and next week we'll start the installation. It'll probably take between a month in 6 weeks to get them all installed. We have a plan, a strategic plan of where to put them. We're going to put them at the state line, at county lines, at major freeway interchanges, and in every 30-mile increments. It'll be on all our major freeways, and we're going to start in the Little Rock, North Little Rock metro area, and work our way out. The cost for this is about $55,000 to install these signs, which is a great use of tax dollars to provide this good service to Arkansas's road users. And next I'll have Representative Stephen Meeks of Greenbrier to come up.
Thank you, Director. Thank you, Governor. And thank you for everyone who's here. The genesis of this came as I was traveling to Little Rock to the Capitol one morning, and I was passed by somebody who was doing between 90 and 100 miles an hour down the highway, weaving in and out of traffic, and even driving up the shoulder, because their time was more valuable than the safety of their fellow travelers and fellow Arkansans. And while it didn't rise to the level of a 911 call, their recklessness very quickly could have turned into a tragedy that would have required 911. And I've also, during my travels, as the director said, run across times when there's large pieces of debris in the road or other unsafe. And how do you report that, or who do you report it to, so it doesn't become a tragedy or doesn't result in the need for a 911 call? And in my travels to other states, I'd seen programs like this. And so I approached Colonel Bryant and asked them, what would it take for Arkansas to do something like this? And as he said, they took the ball and ran with it, worked together with the other state agencies and with the carriers. And now we've made it a reality in our state. And I have no doubt that this will save lives. And it's a great example of how state government can work together with industry to make life a little bit safer for all Arkansans and everyone who visits our great state. So with that, again, thank you for making this effort a reality. And I look forward to all the lives that this is going to save and make better. So thank you. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you, Representative Meeks, and I want to thank our communication partners, our state government partners again for accomplishing this announcement. And now, and they will be available after we conclude today for any questions that you might have. But I wanted to move on to two additional topics. And the first one is our unemployment rate. And believe it or not, that is related to our pandemic. And the unemployment numbers came out for Arkansas today. You probably already have those, but it shows that we went down to a 3.1% unemployment rate in Arkansas, which is the lowest in the recorded history of our state since we've been tabulating unemployment numbers. And that's an extraordinary number to come down to. It is lower than the national average, which has been reduced to 3.9%. It shows that we have 1,353,000 Arkansans in the labor force, which is up over 26,000 workers since 2015. So we've grown jobs in the state, we've increased our labor force. But this last month, the civilian labor force decreased by a little over 1,000. And you dig into the numbers and you see that we grew in manufacturing, we grew in hospitality numbers in a number of different sectors, but we lost, those were offset by losing workers in the healthcare industry and in education. And that is a concern to us. We want to look deeper into that, but it's a reminder of the strain that our workforce sees and feels during this pandemic. And Omicron is part of the cause of some leaving the workforce, as they call the Great Resignation across America. One of our jobs in state government is to retrain, encourage, and help to strengthen our workforce in Arkansas and to grow those numbers. And it's important to get those numbers back up, even though our unemployment numbers are continuing to decline and there are more than ample jobs in our society, in every sector, for those who are willing to be in the workforce. And now let me move on to the report for today. And you see that we have an increase of 7,943 cases over the last 24 hours, which is a little bit up, slightly up from last week, similar time. But remember, last week we were coming off of a holiday. And so we're not discouraged by that number, even though it's still extraordinarily high during this pandemic. The active cases are down 3,742. Our deaths, very regrettably, we have 24 Arkansans have lost their lives as a result of COVID-19. Our vaccinations going out, 6,000, a little over. We've increased the fully immunized by a little over 1,800. Those are key numbers. We're glad to see it up from what it's been over the last couple of days. And then hospital data, we're pleased to see that the hospitalizations have been reduced by 32. Those in ventilators are increased by 18. And while we see this decrease in the last 24 hours in hospital, those hospitalized as a result of COVID, we have to remember that we went up over 100 yesterday. And so it's still very strained in the hospitals. There's a need to bring on additional hospital beds right now. And that's the reason we have asked the General Assembly, the Legislative Council, to support and approve the $4.7 million for UAMS to expand beds that will allow 28 med-surg beds as well as 7 ICU beds that will come online very quickly. And the need is there. There is that urgency. Even though we hope the hospitalizations will decline, the number is still very high, and it's really causing a backlog and a challenge for our ambulance drivers, those that are bringing patients to the emergency rooms. We're challenged there, and we need to have that relief. We'll go on to the next one. We see our testings, over 12,000. That speaks for itself. Let's go on. To the high counties, Pulaski, Benton, and Washington are always there. We have fewer than 1,000, but still very high numbers in those three counties. And then this is the graph that we showed last week. It was last Friday, And you remember that I pointed to the blue line, which was the age group of 19 to 24, and that was the only age group in which you saw the cases tipping down. And we said that could be a harbinger of good things to come, because that was the first one to go up whenever Omicron hit, and now we're seeing that go down. And today, though, you see every category going down rather dramatically, except for the 65 and older, which is flattened out. That's the very bottom one. But we're watching this very closely, but that's a hopeful sign for us that we're seeing in the age groups that the new case rates are going down. With that, let's go to more specific data. You can see the 7-day rolling average of confirmed and probable cases. It's very jagged, but it's looking flatter than what it was. Next, one we always talk about, which is the vaccination status of those that have new infections, hospitalizations, and deaths. And so 74% of the new cases are those that have not been fully vaccinated. You look at the hospitalizations, 83.4% are those that are not fully vaccinated, and deaths, 84% not fully vaccinated. Data demonstrates the need to get vaccinations and the importance and protection that they provide. I believe that concludes that presentation. And I wanted to ask Dr. Romero, if you're here, to come and make your comments.
Thank you, Governor. While the numbers are apparently decreasing at this time, and I think we do think that they'll continue to decrease, we need to keep in mind that those individuals that have already been infected and are ill will require, some of those will require hospitalizations. We saw large jumps previously. We need the beds, and that's why we have provided funds for this, or asked for funds for this. And I want to remind individuals that they still need to be vaccinated and to get their booster doses. On the pediatric front, I want to point out that we have, during this particular spike or surge, exceeded the high watermark for hospitalizations in children. So they, although the numbers are going down, other children are still going to be infected. We're going to have more numbers, more children being infected, and that number will exceed where we are today. So please get your vaccinations, encourage your friends and neighbors to do so, and of course, get the vaccinations to your children. It's a safe and effective vaccine. It is the way to protect them. Thank you very much.
I did want to recognize Secretary Johnny Key with the Department of Education. Where are you, John? There you are, back in the back, but he's available for questions. He gave me his report, and the schools are doing well, challenged, but we're really continuing with our in-classroom instruction. With that, we'll turn it open to questions.
Do you expect hospitalizations to get much higher than they are now, and do you think these additional beds at UMS will be enough, or do you anticipate needing to do more to open more hospital beds?
We're watching it very closely. I am hopeful that it's going to flatten and decline some, but there's no guarantee of that. It all depends upon behavior and the pattern of the Omicron variant that has been somewhat unpredictable. But if we see the early signs of it going down in Arkansas, and that's reflected by the national pattern as well. And so these are all indications that we might have peaked, but the hospitalizations follow our cases. And so even though the hospitalizations have declined a little bit today, I would not be surprised if they edge up some more. Because of the fact that it is a lagging indicator. And so that's why we're watching it very, very closely. The question is, do we have enough beds with the addition of UAMS? For a short time, yes, but it's very close. And if it goes up again, we'll have to be looking for additional options and steps to take. Dr. Romero, did you have anything else to add on that?
You mentioned that we've lost healthcare workers and education workers over the past month, is there a plan to consider, you know, extra support from travel nurses again or teachers' aid to supplement that?
We need to look into that data a little bit more. For example, if we lost someone in a hospital and they became a traveling nurse, I'm not sure where that would be in the statistics. That might be reflected as losing someone in the care industry, even though they are a traveling nurse. So we've got to look much more deeply into that data. But in terms of what steps should be taken, we have taken steps. So whenever we are saying we're funding these ICU beds, it's really support to our hospitals to cover staff cost and to make sure that they're compensated, and we've taken steps to bring in traveling nurses as they've been needed, but also to support those Arkansas nurses and medical support to make sure they have a competitive salary as well.
And is there any possible support for, you know, teachers' aides or extra substitutes or anything like that?
Well, that's what we've encouraged in terms of substitutes, and I know that every school district is seeking additional support for that. Secretary Key, myself, as well as Secretary Gillespie, we've worked on shortening the time for background checks, and so it should be less than 48 hours from the application being submitted and the background check information being submitted before it's completed. So we've streamlined that process and making it easier to bring in that additional support. Johnny, do you want to add to that?
And this question might be more for Dr. Romero, but what can we expect the other side of this peak to look like? I know we expected it maybe this week, but cases are still rising. We're seeing thousands. You know, you said hospitalizations might go up for kids. What can we expect the other side of this peak?
So we do expect this to go downward. One of the big questions that we're left with within the health department is where the set point is going to be. And after each surge, we have seen the set points of cases increase so that the background in the number of cases continues. And my feeling is that given the transmissibility of this virus, that we're going to see an increase in that set point, that we're going to see a daily number that's going to persist. And that daily number will affect the number of hospitalizations we have, as well as the number of deaths. As you've seen, our deaths are not going down. They've plateaued, really. So I think that's what we're going to see into the near future.
Is there anyone remotely that had a question?
Yes, can you hear me, Governor?
I can.
Yes, hi. I'm in Memphis, but we are covering some of the daycares here, and a lot of them in Arkansas have had to close because of COVID. They don't have enough workers in around the state, I understand, in Northwest Arkansas as well. And they're saying that maybe a solution would be more funding for daycare positions as far as better wages and benefits. What can you speak to that, the status of the daycares, and what can be done to kind of help them out through this period?
Well, it's a challenge. You think about one daycare center having to close and how many families that impacts, how many workplaces that impacts, or schools or hospitals that impacts. And so the daycares play a critical role in us being able to get through this. As to the challenge and what we can do. The challenge is that the daycare worker very well will be ill and so will have to isolate and can't be in the facility. And so you need to have additional support or substitutes that can come in. We'll have to look at it more as to whether there's any assistance that can be given. But right now it's something that we have to manage our way through this try to minimize the outage time. One of the things that we did was reduce, based upon CDC guidance, the downtime to 5 days that they have to be out. That helps. But of course, the increase in vaccination helps as well. That helps protect them, and I hope that will be a step we can all take. Next question.
Governor Ryan Tarinelli with the Democrat Gazette. Earlier this month, Representative Crawford announced that he had tested positive for COVID and that he had not received a booster shot. What's your reaction to him not getting a booster shot? And were you disappointed to hear that he had not decided to get a booster shot?
You know, everybody has to make their own decisions. Obviously, I've recommended booster shots. I believe that they're important. I have my booster shot. The First Lady has her booster shot, and it has made a difference for us. But everybody might have had different experiences in their first shots and the outcome, and they measure that. I think from experience, the more we see this and the challenge of Omicron, the more we realize how important booster shots are.
And a follow-up question, if I could. I believe every member of Arkansas's congressional delegation voted against the bipartisan infrastructure bill that passed last year. You have been supportive of that law. Do you wish the state's congressional district had been more supportive of the infrastructure bill, considering the benefits that it's going to bring to the state?
You know, when I've been in Congress, you cast a vote based upon all the information you have. They voted what they saw was important. I have absolutely no criticism of them. I support the bipartisan bill. Our National Governors Association, which I chair, supported that. I think it'll make a difference for our state. We're starting to see the benefits from that. But, you know, those are calls that each of us has to make in elected office. And I respect their position. I'm glad that it passed.
Governor Hutchinson, this is Emma Claybrook with 4029 News. I was wondering if you had an update on the free N95 masks that the federal government are sending out to all of the states and when they'll get to pharmacies. We've talked to several pharmacies who say they know they're getting shipments of those, but they don't know how many and they don't know when exactly those will show up. So I don't know if you had any of that information.
The only information I have is that it's going to be the 1st of February before that's available and before they can send that out. So I have no additional information other than that. They're not here. We're not relying upon them right now. We hope that they will be available. We're more focused right now on the testing side. And then, of course, Secretary Key has made efforts to get the high filtration mask out to our schools. And so we're really making separate efforts to make sure that our schools have access to masks versus simply relying upon what will be available from the federal government. Did you have anything else to add there, Johnny? And Johnny, if you had anything else on the daycare, feel free to comment on that.
Yeah, we have made sure that the adult size masks were shipped out within the last 2 weeks, and then also during that time the manufacturer has been making the smaller child size masks, and those are being shipped out, should be this week as well. So we'll follow up with our school districts to make sure that they are receiving those, but that should be over 500,000 masks that are being distributed throughout the state.
Next question, John, right here at the table.
Hutchinson, this is Michael Wilson with 5 News. Our sister station in Washington, we've been reporting a lot that we're on the downward end of this virus. Our sister station is reporting that they're seeing a sub-variant of this. I mean, is this any concern of you all? Have you heard about it? Do you think this would impact as we're going on the downward end of this surge?
Well, it's too early to tell, of course. But when you've been through almost 2 years of COVID-19 and the pandemic, you recognize there could be curves and new things that pop up in the future. We did not anticipate, I don't think anybody did, exactly what Omicron was going to be like. We don't know what will come next. We do know that the best chance is vaccination to prepare yourself for what might come down the road. So we'll see. The whole country is ready to manage this disease, this virus, versus the current state of emergency. And hopefully with the vaccinations that we have, that we'll be able to manage this as other health needs that we have in our society. And Dr. Romero.
Thank you, Governor. Yes, we are aware of this new variant. We've been following it and are tracking what it's doing both in the United States and in Europe. It is a small proportion of the total variants that we're seeing at this point. It does have some characteristics of increased transmissibility. We don't know whether it is there's any change in its ability to be affected by immunizations, either passive or active immunization. But we are aware of it and tracking.
I'm going to go to the table right now. Yes.
Apparently, some schools are getting close to running out of AMI days because of their shifts to virtual instruction. Do you think, are you considering doing anything to give them some more flexibility, like more AMI days? Or
Secretary Key and I have visited about that, and we feel comfortable with where we are right now, but I'm going to let him elaborate on what schools can do.
We are monitoring that very closely, and it's not a widespread problem. So we have assured the districts that may be getting close that we will work with them individually on ideas to keep if another weather event happens or if another spike occurs, how they can continue serving their students in a way that does not run afoul of the current statutes. We hope that we will see we're asking all the meteorologists to guarantee a light winter for the rest of the winter. But they also have those five built-in makeup days at the end of the calendar. And so when we factor those in, I think right now we're still in good shape.
Is there one last question?
Governor?
You've got the last word.
This is Alex with KNWA. You talked about the great resignation and how we're losing workers in those critical sectors like healthcare, education. Does state have any plans to attract more workers to those critical sectors right now?
Yes, we do. We're working hard with the legislature to raise our teacher salaries, which we took steps on this year to be more competitive. We made sure that that was available for our small rural schools as well that were less affluent. So we have taken that step. I know that Secretary Key, we have programs involved in recruiting people to the teaching profession, and we see that effort continuing. So, and of course, the medical field is an attractive industry, and we have people that are going to med school, that are going to nursing school. We are taking, looking at ways if we need to increase our nurse education program. So that is a possibility of our step that we can take as well. So with that, thank you for your attention today. And some of them will be available for questions. I'd love to have our communications teams come and have a picture with the state police sign. And if my staff can help get that situated there, that'd be terrific. Thank you very much.